Okay, as we know from past experience, the podcast is not going to record itself, so I should probably get started. And as we know from past experience, I still need to arrange furniture, because God forbid I arrange the fucking furniture before I start podcasting. But don't worry, we're going to tangent before we get to the actual topic, because, you know, God forbid we not tangent before we get to the topic. Now let me see if I can move the table without spilling the drinks. All right, that was successful. No alcohol. It's tea and water, in case you're wondering, because I'm sure you're wondering. All right, here we go. Let's get this party started. First of all, I finished Roosh's book this morning, sitting by the fire, finished it off. I think it's already starting to have an effect on me because last night I had a dream. Yes, it was a dream about a white Christmas, but I had another dream. I had a dream, and in the dream, I was on a college campus for some reason. I think I might have worked there or something. I was walking around, I had a ladder, and I went into the library, and I put the ladder down in everybody's way, because I leaned the ladder onto a library table, and so the base of the ladder was sticking out into the walkway and interfering with everyone's ability to move around. But while I'm in the library, I looked around and I noticed that there were an awful lot of homeless people in there. And I woke up this morning, that was pretty much where I woke up. Because I was in the library looking around, I'm going, God damn, there's a lot of homeless people in here. Roosh has a point about homeless people in the library. And I woke up and it's like, ah, fuck. So there's that. Then there's this. Let's do this real quick. This showed up in my mailbox a while back. Somebody put this into an envelope and sent it to me. This is from This is from the Jehovah's Witnesses. What is the kingdom of God? Would you say it is something special within your heart? A figure of speech? A government in heaven? What the Bible says, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, quote, the God of heaven will set up on a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Okay. Then it also says here, this is another quote, a God has been given to us, a son, not a God. Jesus, read, great one, read. A son has been given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulder. What that can mean for you, a righteous government that can benefit you personally. And this is apparently found in Isaiah 48, 17, and 18. In a coming new world, life in perfect health and happiness. And this is apparently found in Revelation 21, 3 and 4. Now I'm looking at this. Are we talking about the government of God, like the kingdom of heaven? Where God, you know, the government of God, the king, kingdom, heaven. Is it? No, we appear to be talking about life on earth, right? Because it says a righteous government, well, it says in a coming new world, life in perfect health and happiness. Okay, so I assume that this is not referring to life in heaven in perfect health and happiness. And of course, we have the picture here of course, the pox, because this is the Jehovah Witnesses version of heaven on earth, apparently, is diversity. We got this picture here. We got the Asian guy in the background We got a white couple in the middle walking past, and in the foreground, we've got a pox woman and her two pox children, and the long-haired, red-headed white girl is looking at the pox while holding hands with the white man, probably thinking to herself, gosh, I wish a pox would impregnate me so that I could have some pox children. So, I mean, this is the Jehovah Witness masturbatory fantasy of this beautiful heaven on earth or something. Diversity. Fantastic. Fan-fucking-tastic. That's lovely. A righteous government that can benefit you personally. In a coming new world, life in perfect health and happiness. Okay, so this is what Christians are sitting around waiting for. Because Christians, like women, aren't going to get off their ass and do anything for themselves. See, they're waiting for Jesus to bring to them a righteous government that can benefit you personally. I mean, come on. Come on. A righteous government. First of all, there's no such thing as a righteous government, but that can benefit you personally. Because you're a woman, right? And everything is about you. This is going to benefit me personally. And you're going to have perfect health and happiness. Perfect health and happiness, because that's all that matters is happiness. And you can have perfect health because this government that the Son of God is going to bring and rest on his shoulder, that's going to benefit you personally, it's going to have free health care. I mean, what the fuck is this shit? Can we really believe what the Bible says? Yes, for two reasons. Jesus showed what God's kingdom will accomplish. Jesus taught his followers to pray for God's kingdom to come and for God's will to be done on earth, which again makes me think they're talking about life on earth, not the kingdom of God in heaven. Jesus demonstrated how that prayer will be answered. Okay, so Jesus demonstrated to us how God's kingdom is going to come to the earth and create a righteous government that benefits you, you. Yes, you. If you just accept Jesus into your heart, this righteous government will benefit you personally, and you will have perfect health and happiness. How? Well, Jesus demonstrated this while he was on earth. Here it is. While on earth, Jesus fed the hungry, healed the sick, and restored life to the dead. Well, it's also clear now. Obviously, we're going to have perfect health and happiness because Jesus fed hungry people. I mean, this makes total fucking sense to me now. I can't believe I couldn't figure this out on my own, heathen that I am. As the future ruler of God's kingdom, Jesus provided a beautiful preview of what that kingdom will do for its subjects. Great, so you're going to feed hungry people, heal sick, and bring dead people back to life. Yeah, that sounds fantastic. World conditions confirm that God's kingdom will soon come. Soon. It's going to be here soon, right? It's like a woman. She's going to be ready to go soon, all right? I know that the play starts at 7 p.m. It's, you know, 6:30. We still got to get... She's going to be ready to go soon, okay? She's almost dressed. She's just got to do her makeup and her hair. She's going to be ready to go soon. World conditions confirm that God's kingdom will soon come. Amen. Women claim all the time they're going to come soon. They don't. Jesus foretold. Sorry. Stop laughing at your own jokes. Fuck you. Jesus foretold. Jesus's foreskin. Jesus foretold that just before the kingdom brings peace on earth. See, we're talking about earth. We're not talking about heaven. Here on earth, there is going to be a righteous government that benefits you personally, and you will have life in perfect health and happiness. How does anyone believe this? I mean, again, it's one thing to say there could be this entity in existence that knows everything and was the initiating force behind the existence of the cosmos. This I can philosophically discuss on an intelligent level. But when you sit here and you fucking tell me that this God is going to send somebody down to create a government that's going to benefit me personally, which is a fucking oxymoron, and I'm going to have perfect health and happiness. I mean, how does anyone believe this? How detached from any form of reality do you have to be? Jesus foretold that just before the kingdom brings peace to the earth, the Jews will be exterminated, and the pox will be... No, it doesn't say that. Jesus foretold that just before the kingdom brings peace to the earth, our world would be plagued by wars, famines, and earthquakes. We see those very conditions today. So we can be confident that God's kingdom will soon bring an end to all such problems. Soon, God's kingdom is going to bring an end to these problems. Soon. All right. Now that we've tangented, let's get back to Ruch's book. Now, some people might be saying, great one. You are great. Thank you. I know that. Being as you don't believe there's an invisible man in the sky, what is it about Ruch's book that you find so appealing? That's a legitimate question. Because the book is mostly about, you know, it's about his travels, but it's all in the context of the invisible man in the sky. Here's my response to that. Here's why. Because what Ruch is ultimately describing here is his quest for the truth. Now, I can disagree with where he's questing for the truth and how he's questing for the truth and the truth that he's arriving at. And if you remember correctly, when Ruch first announced that he was a Christian, I was one of the people who said, I don't believe this. This is some kind of shtick. This is some kind of gimmick. You know, he's up to something. He's making money. He's tapping a new audience, something like that. At this point, I have to say, all right, the man does appear to be genuine. I have to eat my words on that. Ruch is engaged in a quest for the truth. And he's not questing for the truth in the direction he's questing for the truth because the television told him to, or, you know, virtue signaling, or what the corporation said, or, you know, whatever. He's gone this path, and he talks about all this in the book, obviously. He tells the story of his sister getting the cancer and everything that happened at the time, her dying, and yada, yada, yada. And he talks about all the stuff that led him to where he is. So he is on a quest to discover the truth. And that, you know, I can respect and I can appreciate, and I can look at that and I can view that objectively. I can make fun of Ruch for thinking there's an invisible man in the sky, but I can also respect him and take what he says seriously at the same time, because he is on a quest for the truth, right? If he's just running, if he's just like sending me stuff in the mail that shows, you know, white people and pox and Oriental people living in harmony in this under this righteous government that's benefiting everyone personally, and they all have perfect health and happiness. I mean, that's just ridicule. That's pure ridicule material, because there's nothing here. You know, when you're telling me that this stuff is going to happen soon, it's going to happen soon. We know that because the Bible said that before this happened, that the world would be plagued with wars, famine, and earthquakes. I mean, there hasn't been an earthquake lately. Nobody is starving to death except in third world countries that aren't filled with white people, because they're all shitholes. And yes, they're shitholes because there's no white people there, in case you didn't figure that one out. I mean, you know, but it's going to happen soon. I mean, that's just something you ridicule. That's pure something that you just make fun of, because that's just stupid. But Roosh knows that he doesn't know things. And Roosh is trying to figure things out. Roosh is trying. There's no try. There's do or not do. Roosh is setting himself up on a path, physically, mentally, emotionally, intellectually, that he has, how do I phrase this? That he has determined is going to lead him to truth. And you can't argue with that part. You can argue about, you know, does God care about you, and is he going to kingdom on earth and perfect health? We can argue all that shit. But you can't argue with Roosh seeking the truth. All right, let's get back to the book. Give me a second here to organize my so-called organization. By the way, let me tangent one more time, because I want to get this out, because this is on my notes. Among other things, I am doing my weightlifting for at least the rest of this month without listening to podcast or music or anything like that. And I'm trying it without the distractions to see if that makes any kind of a difference in lifting, form, how much I lift, the time it takes me, all this other stuff. And I've also, man, I think I mentioned this before, I'm really burned out on podcasts lately. And so I had started listening to music while I was lifting. And then I decided I'm just going to try it without either. In talking about being burned out on podcast, one of the reasons I'm burned out on podcast is because I have discovered now that I can't do the super chats. As soon as I hear the super chats, I'm finished. I attempted to listen to an episode of the Clary podcast lately, and, you know, it starts off and with the super chats, and actually didn't start, but it got there quickly. But it's the super, and this is nothing against Cappy personally. This is all of you. Okay, trust me, we'll get there in a second. This is all of you. This is everyone. And it's the super chats. It's like, oh, hey, and Bob sends $2 and says, hey, Cappy, what's up? Well, you know, so I tried listening to DT's podcast. First episode I put on it. And so DT's, hey, good morning. Here we are. All right, let's look at the super chats. Hey, there's Bob. Hey, good morning, Bob. How's it going? And there's Billy. Hey, good morning, Billy. I'm like, dude, wait, hold on. Is this really a podcast of you saying good morning to your friends when they're logging in the really? And I mean, yes, it is, because that's what was happening. God damn it! Because here's what I've realized now: doing the super chats, because I've been on Cappy's podcast a couple of times. We do the super chats. Okay, doing the super chats is fun. I don't mind doing them with somebody else. I'm never going to have super chats on my thing because, first of all, the only people that use the word super, other than if you're talking about a car that's supercharged, Superman or Supergirl, is fucking women. Super cute. Oh my God, those are the super cutest shoes. Oh my goodness, he was so super mean to me. Oh my God, the weather outside is really super hot. Oh my God, we're going to have super chats. Okay, using the word super before any word other than charged man or woman makes you a woman or a faggot or both. So I am never going to do super chats. Okay, great one. You're saying it right. Yes, but I'm saying it to ridicule them. Okay, if you're doing it to ridicule things. Oh my God, he's so super gay. Can you see how super non-binary he is? Oh my God, I called him he. Oh my God, I deadnamed him. Oh my God, I'm so super sorry. Right? It's just fucking gayer than fuck. Another word that women and faggots have destroyed. Okay. But I mean, doing it, you know, you sit there and you read a comment from somebody and you say something. I mean, that's fun because that's like just sitting around and having a conversation with your friends, right? You're sitting around, you're by the fire, you got a beer in your hand, you're just kind of shooting the shit. Hey, fuck you. No, fuck you. But you don't record that and call it a podcast. So that's the thing. It's like sex, okay? And I was so happy when I can't remember if he wrote it on his website or if he talked about it in a podcast, but when Adam Piggott talked about how much he hates sex scenes in movies because they're all terrible and he skips over them, I was like, thank God I'm not the only one. Okay, because like, okay, having sex, we all like to have sex, right? But watching a sex scene in the movie is terrible. And no, there's not an exception. There's no unicorn sex scene. There's no movie you're going to bring me and say, great one, this movie has a really good sex scene. You're really going to like... No, they're all terrible. All of them. At one point, Alien, my favorite movie, was going to have sex scenes in it. Thankfully, somewhere in the process, those got eliminated. If any of you out there are working on a movie in any capacity, your movie has sex scenes in it, get the fucking sex scenes out. Nobody wants to see that. I'm telling you. I know. I go, well, we're going to have really good lighting, and it's going to be artistically filmed, and it has this really in-depth meaning that crosses socioeconomic statuses and enhances. Just shut up, man. No, it's going to suck, okay? It's a sex scene. It's in a movie. It's going to suck. It's not a unicorn. The fucking super chats are the same goddamn thing. Doing them is fine because that's you talking to others and you're having a good time. But I do not want to listen to anybody else, not even Aaron Clary. Not even Aaron Clary. I do not want to listen to anybody else doing a fucking super. And if I listen to your podcast, and first of all, if you record it on YouTube, it's not a fucking podcast. It's a YouTube video. I don't know why people get confused between, I have a podcast. Really, what's on YouTube? Okay, that's not a podcast. That's a fucking YouTube channel. I know these distinctions are really hard. I know it's really difficult. If I'm not downloading an MP3 file, you don't have a fucking podcast, okay? So let's stop right there. But even for those of you who do actually have a fucking podcast, which is just the export of your fucking YouTube videos, as soon as I hear super chats, it's over, it's done. I will never listen to DT's podcast ever again because I don't want to hear fucking super chats. And then I go over to the goddamn Bacon's YouTube channel because I found out he's got a YouTube. And fucking Bacon showed his ugly mug now on the YouTube. So I'm like, God, you know, at least he's not as ugly as Aaron Clary. He's got that going for him. Although if you guys want to see ugly, I mean like really ugly, you should see fucking Adam Piggott. That guy, fuck. I mean, the only reason he gets more tail than Aaron Clary is because Aaron Clary's like 5'2". Adam Piggott's like 6'7" or something. And chicks, all they care about is that you're at least 6 feet tall, right? I like a man. I like a man who's super honest. Like, honesty, oh my God, honesty is so super important to me. I like a man who's honest. Hey, bitch, you need to lose some weight. Oh, my God. I'm so super offended. I can't super believe you super said that to me. Hold on. Just 15 seconds ago, you liked the man who is honest. Well, let's... Okay, that was honesty. Let's go fuck. What was I talking about? Super chats. Oh, Bacon. Bacon. So I go to Bacon's channel, and I select a video to watch it. You know, he's doing his thing. God damn it. Hold on. I keep dropping stuff because I'm retarded, apparently. Oh, my God. Great one. You super said the R word. Oh, my God. That's super offensive. And, Anyway. So I go over to Bacon's channel, and I click on the thing, and there's Bacon's ugly mug, and he starts talking, and he starts responding to somebody. I'm like, oh, my God. Bacon's not going to do fucking super chats. Please, for the love of fucking God. And he didn't. And I was able to listen to the video without having to turn it off. But I'm just saying, I'm so over this. It's so annoying. If you have a podcast, that's great, guys. When you take your YouTube video and you export it to MP3 and call it a podcast, go through and edit out the super chat part. Actually, don't bother, because I've already stopped listening to your podcast if you have super chats. All right, anyhow, I just wanted to get that off my chest, especially the part about super chats being exactly like sex scenes in a movie, right? I've never listened to a podcast that has super chats in it where I sat there through the super chat part, and I was like, wow, this is the most fascinating, engrossing, interesting, intellectual podcast. It's even worse, though. No, actually, maybe it's not worse, but it's different. It's like even when I used to listen to the Rush Limbaugh show, the good parts was when Limbaugh was monologuing. As soon as people started calling in, you know, it just instantly started getting worse. And the worst of all was Open Line Fridays. For those of you who never listened to Rush Limbaugh's show, and this is at least like in his heyday, because I had never listened to Limbaugh in his later years, because I do think he lost some of his talent. And I mean, back in the day, Limbaugh had fucking talent. He was talented. But so during the week, Monday through Thursday, they would screen the calls, and the callers had to be calling in and talking about a topic that Limbaugh had on his agenda, right, what he was talking about now or whatever. So there was a level of screening, not just to make sure you weren't a wacko or something, but you needed to have a question or whatever about the topic on hand. Fridays were called Open Line Fridays, when people could call in and talk about whatever they wanted. Now, they still got screened by a screener to make sure they weren't completely insane or wacko, but after that, it could be anything. And it's like, listen, this is like when I'm listening to Rush Limbaugh, I don't want to hear what fucking Molly from Idaho thinks about corn chips. I don't give a shit. You know, and it's kind of the same thing with the super chats, right? It's just like, oh, here's Clary, and he's talking about whatever. You know, he's talking about his new book, the numbers on the women, the ROI on the bitches and shit. And he's talking about some of the research and some shit that he found. And then somebody wants to do a super chat to, hey, Clary, what's up, dog? How do I get the girls? I mean, it's funny the first 73 times. But now that we're on itineration 4,962 of, hey, Clary, how do I get the girls? It's just, stop. No, I get it. If you've never heard a super chat before in your life, I'm sure there's something entertaining about it. I personally, you know, it's once again, it's like I said about the videos and the podcasts and everything about how girls are poopy heads, right? Like when I said that I never need to hear another podcast or video about girls are poopy heads. And I deleted gigabytes and gigabytes of videos that I had downloaded from YouTube that were from people like Donovan Sharp, whose entire shtick, his entire fucking catalog, his entire shtick, every fucking video that I've ever seen from him is about how girls are poopy heads, right? I don't need to ever again in my life watch a video about, hey, look, guys, there's this girl over here who is a poopy head. No shit. Now, I'm still going to talk about girls being poopy heads. I'm going to subject you to listening to stories about girls or poopy heads, but I'm beyond, I don't need it. I don't ever again need to hear girls or poopy heads. Got it. Got it. Okay, got it. It's, I don't ever in my life need to hear another fucking super chat of something like, how do I get the girls? Or, hey, bro, what's up? For $2, Billy says, hey, bro, what's up? I don't know, Billy. I'm just sitting here like wasting my finite life and the finite life of my listeners responding to you asking me, hey, what's up? Even though I've just been talking to people on the internet for an hour and a half. And yeah, you gave me $2. But then after YouTube takes its cut and then I got to pay taxes and then I got to do the trouble of getting. It's just, Bob, why don't you just fuck off and die? Okay. So I'm done, man. I'm so fucking done with super chats and everybody who does them. Just stop it. I am so super done. All right, now, super 30 minutes into the podcast, let's super talk about Roosh's book. At this point, I should almost just stop this and make it its own episode and not subject people who want to hear me talking about Roosh's book to all of his tangenting and ranting and everything. But you know what? I'm going to make you motherfuckers suffer. I mean, unless you want to send me money. If you send me some super cuck bucks. All right, anyway, let's get the fuck to it. American Pilgrim by Roosh, whose last name I can't pronounce and will not attempt to pronounce because I don't want to embarrass myself any further than I have already embarrassed myself in my so-called life. All right, we're on page 75. Two men attended the Washington, D.C. event dinner along with a couple, of which the women was Orthodox. Oh, okay. Hold on. Roosh does write better than I read. I want to keep that in mind. Let me start this over. Try to articulate myself. Two men attended the... Yes, two men... God damn it. Hold on. Rented lips. Okay, we're going to not fuck up this time. Two men attended the Washington, D.C. event dinner along with a couple, of which the woman was Orthodox and the man was atheist. Almost made it through that sentence without fucking him. The man told me how he had turned his life around spontaneously, seemingly without the help of God. I listened attentively, and then a question popped into my mind. I looked at his girlfriend and asked, before he turned his life around, did you ever pray for him? Every day, she replied, solemnly nodding her head. There it is, I said, smiling, insinuating that his turnaround had not been born from his own strength, but through the grace bestowed on him from his girlfriend's prayers. Needless to say, he didn't exactly welcome this idea. He had read the Bible several times, and while he had extracted wisdom from it, his personal research had determined that it was rife with error. So you see, you didn't do anything. You've done nothing. So once again, this is fascinating. So God created you and God gave you the free will and stuff. But then when you do something, like this guy turned his life around, whatever that means. Well, it wasn't because of anything he did. It was because his girlfriend was praying for him. You see, this constant need, it's kind of like, once again, let's get back to how Christians are essentially women. You know how women have to find a way to relate everything back to dogs, Harry Potter, or themselves? It's like Christians are the same, like everything has to go back to God. You can't just stop drinking alcohol on your own, right? God had to be involved in it. God has to be involved in every facet of your life. And of course, that includes the bad things too. So if you become an alcoholic, well, God was the reason for that too, because see, that's part of God's plan. Because God has this plan, right? And it's mysterious and nobody can understand it, but you intimately understand God's plan because everything that happens is part of God's plan. And you being an alcoholic, well, that's the best plan God could come up with. He just couldn't come up with anything better than that. See, and this is part of why, oh, great one. Why don't you make a YouTube channel about atheism and talk about atheism over and over and over and stick bananas up your ass? And I was like, this is why, because you can't argue. It's like arguing with a statist, right? If you try to explain to statists that you can build a road without the government, their brain can't comprehend it, okay? You can't, there's no reason in trying to argue, and I mean argue in the sense of a philosophical argument debate, okay? Now, again, not argue like you argue with your girlfriend. There's no point in trying to argue with a Christian because the Christian's just everything has to go back to God. Right? God is responsible for everything. Well, then I mean, who cares? I mean, what's the point then? In New York City, I met a man who is following the faith, but then determined through research that premarital sex was not actually a sin, and so he deliberately committed it. Another man on my forum was doing research and constructing a theory of the nature of God, very proud that he was going to break new spiritual ground. Whenever a man starts telling me that he has done research, I know that he has found a way to bend God to his desires instead of bending to God. Now, there's certainly some validity there. Whenever I hear somebody tell me that they've done research, what that tells me is that they typed something into Google and they believed the very first link that came up, which was probably a link to CNN or MSNBC. Right. So we all know research is a code phrase for believing what other people tell you without questioning it. All right, now we're in Columbus, Ohio. We're doing our dinner here. All right. At one point during the dinner, we were surrounded by tables of women decked out in sexy summer wear and thick makeup. I like to think that we were looking for honorable women of the faith while they were looking for men who would sexually excite them and treat them as goddesses. That is what women are looking for. All right, let me read this without editorializing. If we, as men, failed in our mission to find a suitable wife, a life of chastity awaited us. We'd be monks in a world or monks in a monastery. Maybe if these sexy women didn't find a man, they'd become nuns, though it was more likely they'd redirect their nurturing instinct to cats, dogs, gays, minorities, or refugees. One way or another, they would become a mother. The only question was to what or whom. But based on the excessive display of gay pride flags in Columbus, my bet was that they would primarily be mothers to the gays. I even saw my first transgender pride flag hanging from a Columbus coffee shop. It consisted of 5 horizontal stripes, a white stripe in the center surrounded by 2 pink stripes and then 2 light blue stripes. Since the transsexuals mix up their sexes, shouldn't there be a lack of delineation between the stripes? I nominate the flag to be purple, a mixture of pink and blue, with a skull and crossbones in the center, since if you stray that far from the natural order to the point of surgically changing your sex, you're firmly on the path to spiritual death. All right, there's a lot of truth in this. Boy, there's a lot of truth here. The part about women redirecting their nurturing instinct to cats, dogs, gays, minorities, and refugees. I mean, once again, that takes us directly back to what I've been saying for how long now. All of our problems in this society are a direct result of the inability to control women. Right, women have that hole inside of them, and they've got to fill it. And if there's not a man filling it and controlling them, she's going to fill it with, as Roosh puts it, cats, dogs, gays, minorities, and refugees. That's what all of this is. Black Lives Matter is just a way to fill the hole in white women, both literally and metaphorically. It's filling their hole because it's giving something to them to mother, and it's filling their vagina because BLM is just a shtick to get white girls impregnated by black men. And the bit about the tranny flag, I mean, that's brilliant. Purple with a skull and crossbones in the center. That is fucking brilliant. All right, we're in Chicago. Chicago, Chicago. The city may offer access to more pleasure and the ability to work in an air-conditioned office, but it's not for free. You must... Oh, resisting temptations. Free! It's like free healthcare. It's totally free. All right. The city may offer access to more pleasure and the ability to work in an air-conditioned office, but it's not for free. You must be bombarded with corporate propaganda, obsess about your appearance and the size of your muscles, and perhaps even take boner pills so you can perform for a multitude of sex partners who won't love you. For your trouble, you get to spend 2 hours a day in transit to a job where you have to give fealty to the leftist cause of the month. Traffic in Chicago was so bad that I saw standstill traffic jams in both directions, a rare sight in Washington, D.C. Why do so many people live in such a way? Why do they tolerate the degraded state of affairs? One of the main reasons is sex. Big cities offer the most opportunities to sleep around and get a hot sex partner. While many people profess a love of material riches or social status, those rewards are usually harnessed to achieve better sex. I wonder whether it is a stretch to say that most of urban capitalism is driven by the need for sex, a need that is nurtured and amplified within us by those who control the country culturally and politically. Yeah, I think that's absolutely accurate. I'm not saying sex is bad, okay, I'm not saying don't have it, but yeah. The material riches, the social status, all of that is harnessed to get you closer to sex. Great one. He's saying I shouldn't bang a bunch of women. Nope, didn't say that either. I'm just saying Roosh has some fucking points here. Okay. Saying is Roosh is dispensing some wisdom. He's making some observations. Think about it. You can come to your own fucking conclusion. I'm just saying think about it. And read the book. It's a good book. I enjoyed the fuck out of it. It's, how long is this thing? 400 something pages? I don't know where I got 40 from. Oh yeah, I'm retarded. That's where. 395 pages. It's a damn good book. All right. Oh man, this is going to be tough not to editorialize. All right. It is safe to say that travel is dead, at least according to the classic definition that hints at an exploration of the unknown. Today, it's just too easy. All risk is eliminated as you explore what amounts to a commodified, neatly packaged experience that has already been devoured by the masses. Even worse is that travel has become more about collecting photos and videos, mostly of yourself in exotic places, than truly knowing the exotic. With navigation, hotel and travel apps, along with credit cards, it has become impossible to fail at travel. If anyone can do it, and no training or discernment is required to make it back home in one piece, it amounts to a prolonged consumer transaction. Oh my God, I super like to travel. Like, oh my God, like, oh my God, like, oh my God. I super love horses and rescue dogs, but I super love to travel. I super love shopping and super love, but oh my God, I super love to travel for shopping. Oh my God, I super love travel shopping. Right. This is why women love travel. And, you know, there's also the part where they can get strange cocks inside of them. But women love travel because, once again, Roosh nails it. It is a prolonged consumer transaction. Right? If you just go to the store and you buy some new shoes, the rush only lasts for about 20 minutes. But if you travel, I mean, travel, because you travel, you could travel all day. You could travel. And it's literal. Think about when a woman super travels, when she super loves to travel, what does that mean? I mean, she gets on an airplane and she sits there taking pictures of herself and putting them on Instagram. And then she gets somewhere, she gets off and she goes and she takes more pictures of herself. This whole time she's just moving around, taking pictures of herself, putting them on Instagram. And it is a prolonged consumer transaction. The whole time she's spending money and she's getting attention. I mean, Roosh nailed it. He fucking nailed it. I mean, even if you're driving. So what? You're driving in your air-conditioned car, and you got your GPS and all this other shit. I mean, there was a time when traveling meant, oh, you get in your car and you go that way. There was no GPS. You might have a road map. You might not. And you'd stop along the gas station and get a fucking road map. I'd roll into a state I'd never been to before and stop at the first gas station and buy a road map so I could figure out where the fuck I was going and how to get there. I remember my first international trip in 2005 to Italy. I took traveler's checks, which I cashed in various Italian banks for local currency. That wasn't at all difficult, but it involved some planning and foresight. I remember having to ask around for train schedules and hotel recommendations. I went to train stations with all my bags, not knowing whether or not I'd get a ticket. I walked into hotels and asked whether they had a vacancy, and if they didn't, I trekked to another one nearby. I had to hail taxis with my arm and pretend that I knew my way around so drivers wouldn't rip me off. I caught the tail end of travel when reservations were not automatic and you were forced to interact with other human beings to gain information. Now anyone can be a traveler and have their status boosted on the internet. It has become an identity. The irony of my complaint is not lost on me, since I have profited from the traveler identity. Even now, I am putting out videos of my road trip and writing a book about it. So perhaps I am the problem, and my pride simply wants to look down on others who are less authentic than me, where I get to define what is authentic. So for any women listening to this, see that last little bit there, that's called self-awareness. Now, see, as a woman, you don't know anything about that because you've never experienced self-awareness. Now, I know you're thinking, well, self-awareness, isn't that when I look at my own selfie on Instagram to see how many likes it's got? No. Now that's the closest you as a woman will come to self-awareness. And you're going to come soon. That's what Jehovah's Witnesses said. You're coming soon. Oh, here's a long bit. Okay, look at this. This is a long one. That's what she said. Where are we on time? All right. One of the guests, where the hell are we? We're in a city. We're doing a thing. We're doing a meet and greet. All right. One of the guests was a Juden. Das Juden. One of the guests was a Jewish man who had political clout in his city. Adam had scraggly long hair and an excited energy. He described how he helped elect the new mayor by connecting him with Jewish donors. Ah, the sweet smell of democracy. All right, there's no way I'm going to get through this without editorializing. None. He was well-versed in the conspiracy theories of the day, so when the other guys ran out of questions for me, I started asking him a few. So, is Pizzagate for real? I asked. Yes, and it's far worse than what you know. Have you heard of adrenochrome? They put children in a state of fear so their bloodstream is flooded with adrenaline, and then they sacrifice the children and drink their blood. That really happens? I had heard of the theory before, but was skeptical. Yes, but the market for adrenochrome is drying up because of Trump. He has arrested thousands of pedophiles since getting elected. That is why certain celebrities like Celine Dion suddenly look gaunt, like concentration camp victims. They can no longer obtain adrenochrome and are experiencing a withdrawal. Okay, let me stop for one moment here. See, this is where... this is where you fucking right-wing cucks and your weirdness, I don't even know how to describe this. Let's just go through it. First of all, politicians are politicians scum. Yes. Are there politicians who are pedophiles? Yes. Are the pedophiles among politicians a higher percentage than they are among quote-unquote normal people? Absolutely. Okay. First of all, I'm just going to start with the fucking low-hanging fruit. Celine Dion? The reason Celine Dion looks like a concentration camp victim is because she's like 70 or something. Is she even still alive? Who? Celine Dion. Really? Okay. These thousands of pedophiles that have been arrested since Donald Trump. See, this Trump worshiping. Honestly, it's one thing for you to tell me that Jesus is going to show up soon and bring us this righteous government on earth that's going to benefit me personally and I'm going to live in perfect health and happiness. Okay, once again, yeah, he's Jesus. He's got like he's got super Jesus powers. Yeah, his God is God. His Father is God, who has like super powers. You know, it's like super. I can consider the possibility that Jesus is going to show up super soon with this super righteous government that's going to super benefit me personally with super perfect health and happiness. Okay, could I get the name of 10 pedophiles that have been arrested because of Donald Trump? Just 10. Send me the names of 10 pedophiles that I can look up, that I can research on the internet by typing something in and believing the first link that comes up. Name for me 10 pedophiles. Guys, Donald Trump is not the... once again, the God Emperor thing is funny. Donald Trump was not the God Emperor. There were no pedophiles arrested because of Donald Trump. None. Zero. Not one. Okay? This shit. The fucking... adrenochrome children, that the celebrities can't get them anymore because of Donald Trump. This is just weird shit. Do you have any evidence for this? Any? Well, but we can't say any. Okay, if you have evidence, but you can't show anybody the evidence, that means you don't have any evidence. I mean, come on. Well, but the whole system is controlled. Oh, you mean the whole system is controlled? You mean by your enemies, like the ones that you won't kill, right? The ones that you tolerate because you want to be tolerant and diverse and you want them to like you, right? The homosexuals and the trannies and the pedophiles, they control the system. You can't reveal the system, but you can welcome these people into your churches. You put your gay flags out front. Oh, you can fucking suck the cock of democracy. And once again, he's like, well, Donald Trump did. No, and you sat around, you waited for Donald Trump to fix your problems, and then Donald Trump went away. Okay, Donald Trump's not president anymore. Do you think that these pedophiles, you think they might be able to find some kids Probably. They might be able to find some. So what's changed? Nothing. Once again, you're just sitting around waiting for someone else to wipe your asses for you. And just the kind of ridiculousness is that I had to read this when I was first reading the book. I had to read this like three times to make sure it actually said Celine Dion. Celine Dion. Half of you listeners don't even know who the fuck Celine Dion is. And that's fine. You don't need to know. Number one, she's Canadian. Number two, she's a woman. I mean, she's irrelevant twice over. The only Canadian alive who's worth a shit is Frank Cervi. We give him a pass. The rest of you Canadians, go fuck yourselves. All right, let's keep going. There's way more. Roosh says, so we're essentially ruled over by vampire pedophiles. Satanic vampire pedophiles, he corrected. The good news is that Trump is trying to dismantle this. See, the good news, guys, is that we're sitting, there's all these pedophiles out there. And oh, we Christians, we're such good people. And we care about the children. We all save all these souls. But we're not going to do anything about it. We're going to sit around and wait for Trump to do something. Because we're pussies. We're going to welcome the faggots and the trannies and the pedophiles into our churches because we aren't going to lift them. They're satanic, vampiric pedophiles. Are we going to go on a crusade? Are we going to fucking find our ball sacks? Are we going to kill them? Are we going to expose them? Are we going to bother to even just go get evidence of what they're doing and put it on the air? No, we're going to sit here and wait for Donald Trump to wipe our asses for us. Because you know why? Because that's God's fucking plan. Okay? That's God's plan. That's the best thing God could come up with. God said, hey, you know what? All these fucking kids need to be abused by these pedophiles because that's part of my plan because I, the supreme fucking being with infinite wisdom who exists outside of time and space, I just couldn't come up with anything better than that. You're fucking retarded. You're cowards. See, this is the thing. Just like women use the patriarchy as an excuse for their failure, you Christians use all of this shit as an excuse for your failure.
It's God's plan. I'm waiting for Donald Trump. Donald Trump's going to clean up the pedophiles.
Maybe, once again, maybe God put the pedophiles here for you to get off your ass and clean up. Maybe that's your fucking job. But see, God's plan couldn't possibly be anything that involves you doing work, could it? Oh, fuck no. God's plan is for you to just sit around and let the pedophiles run wild until Jesus comes back soon and establishes this righteous government that's going to benefit you personally. You know, fuck all those kids that got abused by the pedophiles. Fuck them. You're waiting for Jesus to show up and bring you a fucking righteous government that's going to benefit you personally. Fuck those children. Satanic vampire pedophiles, he corrected. The good news is that Trump is trying to dismantle this. Then Roosh says, why doesn't he tell the public? He can make a speech and get the nation on board with him. Well, that's an interesting question, Roosh. Why doesn't somebody with knowledge of the satanic vampire pedophiles come forward? Oh, that's right, because you're all a bunch of pussies. The response here, Dwight Eisenhower tried to do that with his military-industrial complex speech. They labeled him a kook and nothing happened. Trump is acting as a folksy patriot. It's for show. Behind the scenes, he's fighting them. I expect things to unravel for the pedophiles next year. Also, you know what else is going to happen next year? The ice caps are going to melt. The sea level is going to rise by 3 feet. So Trump's not president anymore. And how is the unraveling of the pedophiles going, guys? How's that working out? Have the pedophiles unraveled? Can you tell me the name? Can you tell me the names of 10 pedophiles who have been unraveled thanks to Das Trump and Fiora? See, he's acting as a folksy patriot. It's for show. See, behind the scene. Once again, let me explain this to you guys. All of this is a fucking excuse for failure. And then here's the other thing that Trump fucked up. Trump fucked up my run for the presidency, because the plan was I was going to run in 2024 after 8 years of Donald Trump. Now that he fucking lost the election, that throws all of my fucking plans into chaos. I say, and why am I talking about this? Because, guys, when I get elected president of the United States, assuming I run now because Trump just fucked everything up, but when I'm elected, there's not going to be any of this fucking acting and doing things in the background, all right? I am going to be sworn in. President of the United States, I'm going to swear on the Bible. Yes, irony. And, like, effective in me. The presidents, all, they go there and give their speech. Oh, I'd like to thank my vice president, and I appreciate the president before me and all he's done. No, my speech is going to be, all right, I'm president now. Everybody at the IRS, you're fired. You're fired. Get your shit. Go home. IRS has just been dissolved. No more income taxes. Don't like it? Go fuck yourself. United States military, all immediately right now, if you are on a military base, not on American soil, start packing up. You got 6 fucking weeks to get you and all your people back to the United States. We are pulling out of every fucking military base, every fucking country. End of discussion. Go fuck yourself. Like, that's going to be that right there. What I just said, that is the first 60 seconds of my presidential term. This fucking shit. Well, yeah, Donald Trump, he's out to get the pedophiles, but he can't say anything in public. Oh, fucking Christ. Well, what the fuck is he scared of? Well, they might kill him, or he could kill them. Does Donald Trump know how to go to the store and buy a fucking gun? I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. What is Orange Man pussy? I mean, he couldn't even put Hillary Clinton in jail. How's he gonna put a fucking unknown pedophile in jail? Fucking Christ. This, once again, I can understand you guys worshiping Jesus, like literally worshiping Jesus. I can get that. But this worship of Donald Trump. Fuck. And if there's any libtard listening to this, you're no better. I saw the way you guys went. I mean, don't think for a minute that you don't do this. Oh my God, Obama, you know? Oh my God, Obama, the tears and everything. Oh. And 8 years later, black people and white people still hate each other. I thought Obama was going to bring fucking heaven on earth. I thought Obama was going to bring a righteous government that benefited you personally and created a new world where everybody had perfect health and happiness. So I didn't need to hear any fucking libtards. Any libtard, you shut up about me making fun of right-tards for fucking worshiping Trump, because you guys are the fucking masters of worshiping humans. Continues. Roosh says, do the pedos think they can get away with it? The only way they can is if they start World War III. They believe that will cover it all up. If they don't start a war, they will be exposed, and it will be game over for them. If they don't start a war, they will be exposed. Okay, I'm once again, tell me the name of the person who's going to expose the pedophiles. Donald Trump had 4 years. He was the fucking Messiah. He was the God Emperor. He was the Orange Man. He didn't do jack shit. What is the name of the person who's going to expose these pedophiles? Exactly. And the only way the pedophiles can escape detection is if they start a war. Okay, we live in a country where a solid 85% of people and 100% of the boomers believe everything they see on television. If I presented video footage of whoever, at Celine Dion wearing a strap-on, having sex with the strap-on with an 8-year-old boy, and then after she runs the dildo, the strap-on, in the 8-year-old boy's ass a bunch of times, she reaches around and she grabs his hair, she pulls his neck back, and she slits his throat, and then she drinks his blood. Okay? Now I've got a video of that shot under studio lighting with 10 witnesses all there shooting the same thing from different angles and signed affidavits that this is... CNN will just come on and say that it's not true and everyone will believe CNN. We don't need a fucking world war to prevent pedophiles from being exposed. CNN exists for that exact purpose. That is the entire purpose of the mainstream media, is to cover up pedophiles, murder, rape, government fucking fuck-ups, corruption. Need a world war. Remember, all of this wacko conspiracy shit, this is all coming from a Jew. So here's my question. Do you think it's possible that the Jews are saying shit like this to distract everybody from the real problem? Which would be the Juden. Just throwing that out there. Just a little something for you to think about. All of this shit is coming from a fucking Jew. A Jew in government who helps get politicians elected by, what's the word it said over here? Helped elect the new mayor by connecting him with Jewish doctors. How exactly does one connect with Jewish doctors? You mean taking money from them as a bribe? But what exactly does that code phrase mean? Connected him with Jewish... not doctors. It says donors. I can't read. Jewish donors. Jewish doctors. Oh, God. Fucking idiot. Jewish donors. So a bunch of Jews got this guy elected. So there's a bunch of Jews interfering in American politics. Are you sure it's the pedophiles like Celine Dion that are the problem here? Or do you think it might be the Jewish donors that are giving a bunch of money to people who are running for political office in the United States? All right, let's keep going because we got more. Oh, there's more. There's more Jew conspiracy theory here. Oh, God. There's a lot of it. All right, World War III. All right, and then it will be game over for them. And Roosh says, and what is my role in this grand game? The answer is to strengthen the family. And Roosh says, but I don't even have a family. And the Jew says, it doesn't matter. Remember when you were getting all that media coverage a few years back? They were actually promoting you. At a time you were still teaching promiscuity and casual sex, they wanted to send more men your way who didn't fit in with their feminist paradigm. A lot of men found you from those viral Return of King articles, didn't they? Roosh says, they did. But wait, you're saying that their attacks against me with those large mobs were a way to corrupt men further by helping them engage in more casual sex? And the Jew says, yes. You were a useful idiot without knowing it. You don't think that they know that by attacking you, they promote you? They're not stupid. But have you noticed that they don't attack you as much anymore? Why is that? And Roosh says, because I stopped pushing sex? And the Jew says, exactly. Now they're quiet. because by attacking you, people will encounter your Christian message, which they can't have. But when your message was free love, they promoted you under the guise of an attack. In essence, men who weren't corrupted through their direct liberal education and propaganda were corrupted by the liberated sex norms you promoted. His theory was intriguing. When the media attacked me, only 1 to 2% of the mob would identify with my ideas and become followers. They would go on to watch me teach a sexually liberated lifestyle, which wasn't that different from the 98 or 99% of those who hated me. So I can agree that I was a dutiful soldier of the establishment by teaching men the same type of sexual norms that they taught women. If the media starts writing about you, whether positively or negatively, you're serving a purpose for them in some way. By attacking me, they energized their troops, advanced the main tenets of their agenda, and, if Adam was right, taught more men how to engage in seamless fornication. Now this, gotta admit, he's got a point. When Roosh was a rapist and all this other stuff, he got all this media attention, and now that he's a Christian, he's ignored. And he's right. If the media is promoting you or attacking you, either way, you are serving a purpose. The media doesn't attack anybody unless attacking that person serves a purpose. All right, let's do one more. I think I'm going to take a break. We'll come back and possibly finish this off. Maybe, maybe not. Well, I won't tangent on the next episode. Won't do any super chats either. All right. After the event was over and I had said goodbye to everyone, I walked a few blocks to sit at a bar for a cheeseburger and fries dinner. Near me were an older white couple drinking beers. Behind them, a table of black men loudly gambling over dice. They had bills folded lengthwise and would toss them in the middle of the table before rolling. I looked at the faces of the old couple. They exhibited a grin of frustration, restraining themselves as best they could, while the black men didn't restrain themselves at all. The bar staff permitted their yelling and illegal gambling. I found this to be a fitting metaphor for what is happening in America. The way of life that the boomers coveted was disappearing, to be replaced by homosexuality, degeneracy, constant criminality, low-grade political violence, censorship, low-paying jobs, homelessness, profuse drug use, large-scale third-world immigration, and a host of other ills that had barely touched the boomer generation in their youth. They still had their wealth and their large houses in the suburbs, but once they died, what kind of America will remain? And the answer is an America that was destroyed by boomers. Because, yeah, boomers grew up without any of this. But boomers brought all of this, every bit of this: homosexuality, degeneracy, constant criminality, low-grade political violence, censorship, low-paying jobs, anyone, low-paying jobs, homelessness, profuse drug use, large-scale third world immigration. All of those things were brought to us by the fucking boomers. They have literally destroyed everything that the United States was. And they're going to die just before the worst of it hits. Once again, they have just fucked everyone else over at their own goddamn benefit.